Hello and welcome to Series 3 of Stories from the Pack by Wolves Fancast. Following the fantastic works that Hoops did on the first two seasons, I'm Richard. For anyone who's not heard me before, I'd be very surprised, but I've sort of taken on Hoops' mantle from it. Joining us to start Series 3, we're joined by former Olympic gymnast and, well, Wolverhamptoner Christian Thomas. Christian, how are you doing? How are you finding the latest lockdown?
I'm all good, thank you. Not too bad. It's we're in just a weird situation, aren't we, at the minute? I mean, it's not ideal by any means, but powering through it, family and sort of wife and sort of everyone close to me is still healthy and doing okay, which is the main thing. I'm ready to get back into the world a little bit now, sort of working from home as well most of the week and then limited time outside and just all the restrictions that are in place. It certainly takes its toll, but I have to say, generally, it's been okay. It's just me and my wife living where we live, and we tend to work one upstairs, one downstairs, so at least we don't annoy each other too much in the daytime on work calls and all that sort of stuff. So I think in comparison maybe to most, we're doing okay.
Yeah, no, I can completely empathise with that, especially, you know, the working from home with multiple people and, you know, especially if you're someone who likes to be very active and get outside a lot. Being stuck inside essentially 7 days a week at the moment isn't particularly great. But for me anyway, at least we've got football, which is what we're sort of primarily going to chat about today. So for anyone new to Stories from the Past, what we're kind of doing with this series is just chatting to fans of the club and just sort of seeing where that kind of passion came from, a few memories, and really just highlight sort of what it means to be a Wolves fan, really. So I guess if we kind of roll back almost to the beginning, really, and sort of what are your first sort of memories of, I guess, being a Wolves fan? Or was it very much from day one? Was it sort of from parents, or is something you sort of picked up sort of being locally?
I think for me, it was probably something I picked up being locally. My family aren't necessarily a big sort of football fan. I guess my dad, he's sort of born and bred Wolverhampton as well. He's from Parkfield, so always been in Wolverhampton area, but never again been a sort of massive football fan. My mum, her sort of, she was, I guess, born Birmingham sort of area, Aston. So her sort of parents were sort of immigrants from Ireland and they settled in Birmingham. So they were sort of a little bit, I guess, Villa fans. And then they sort of moved over to Cannock area. So, yeah, as I say, it wasn't necessarily I think something that was born into anything like that. I think it's just, you know, your surroundings, your environment, from Wensfield in Wolverhampton. So went to school in Wolverhampton as well, primary and secondary. So I think it was just a natural kind of progression, a natural thing and a natural step. I had an older brother as well who wasn't necessarily, again, massively into football. He was more sort of martial arts and he did a bit of gymnastics with me as well. But he you know, as I said, he sort of preferred other sports really. So again, I wouldn't say it was a massive thing. It helped as well. I played football when I was younger. It was sort of the Bilston League. And I was sort of in primary school. I used to play for a team called Springvale. So that was sort of way back when. And again, so you're naturally surrounded by sort of people and friends and classmates who were involved in football. It was, you know, football was the most important thing at the playground in primary school. Nothing else mattered. It was kind of the game at lunchtime. That was what it was all about. That was the most important thing. And you'd wolf your lunch down just so you could get out there
as soon as, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. So again, it was something that I guess I just progressively just got into, and I always enjoyed the game, playing it personally. And then when I got a little bit older and the gymnastics got more serious, I guess I kind of had to sort of put it on the back burner for a bit. You know, I got to a sort of level where even by sort of under 12s, I was selected for the Great Britain team for gymnastics. So again, that meant gymnastics got very serious at a young age. And that meant ultimately I had to stop playing football because if I got injured, then I was in big trouble.
Yeah. And it's the time commitment as well for it. And I mean, I know people who played football at, you know, not even a high level, but you think Saturday afternoon leagues, if you're playing a decent level of football, you can't go down to the Molyneux or you can't go wherever. And You know, I find it fascinating because for me, and I appreciate I'm saying this to a former, as I say, athlete, that the Midlands in particular is a very much it's a one sport region. It is football, especially in the Black Country. You know, there's not a professional cricket team. There's not a professional rugby team knocking about. It is, you know, football is the popular and the most common recreational activity, especially for boys. And even now, and say it's almost what you kind of grow up doing. And it's almost very different if you're not doing that to a certain degree. And say it almost just ingrains into you. And even if you're not a huge fan, you're still a supporter, I guess. Yeah. You know, my brother's never been a football fan, actively passionate about not being a football fan. But, you know, I know that since he sort of moved away from the region, for him, if anyone sort of said, oh, you know, where are you from or whatever, or say what team you support, he will just go, oh, I'm a Wolves fan. Because it's sort of just culturally just one of them, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. And I guess I relate to that massively even more so now when I guess I was traveling a little bit more as a gymnast before and I was fortunate enough to get to do a lot of traveling as part of the sport. And if I said I was from Wolverhampton and generally people say, okay, what football team's that? Because they would know football. And that was kind of the link between the two almost. And I would say Wolves, and until they was in the Premier League, they didn't really know where that was or who that was or what that meant. But now, sort of a lot further down the line, sort of when I go abroad now or on holiday or whatever, and that question's asked, everybody knows who Wolves is now. And that's just having a couple of consecutive seasons in the Premier League and doing well and Europe as well. So it just shows, you know, I think everyone does exactly what you just said then, even whether they're football fans or not. It's kind of, oh, yeah, I'm from Wolverhampton, you support Wolves. It's kind of just how it has been. And I guess also going back a little bit earlier as well, I sort of remember when I was trying to balance the two of playing football and then also gymnastics before I had to sort of call it time. I remember doing sort of training for football Saturday morning and then going straight to gymnastics training. Sunday morning was the game and then straight to gymnastics training. But so that my gymnastics coaches wouldn't find out I'd been playing football, I used to have to, in the car, get baby wipes and a cloth, wiped all my legs down. So just leave zero evidence of mud on me so that then I could get to the gymnastics training and no one, you know, wouldn't be any wiser or know any different. And that was sort of like a secret between me and my dad for many, many years.
Oh, fantastic. I'm just imagining you sort of just making sure you can get it all off just before you can get in the gym.
Absolutely.
Let's say, good job.
You know, logistics.
I was going to say it's a military operation having to do things like that. I guess sort of what are your sort of first memories of Wolves? You know, for me, it sounds stupid, but I remember sort of, I don't quite remember the first game I went to, but I remember sort of seeing bits and bobs on TV. And I remember almost that first kit. I think I must have got it when I was about 8 or 9. It was where it had all the sort of Wolves in different hexagonal things. I had no concept of any of the players or anything like that. That kind of came a few years later for me. But what's sort of your initial, I guess, first memory of as Wolves as a concept, really?
I remember my first game that I went to. I was probably about 7 or 8, I reckon, at the time. Ironically, it wasn't actually my very first football match I'd been to. Because my older cousin and my uncle, they were season ticket holders at Man United. And as a little boy, they kind of took me and my brother to United game. And, you know, that was actually my very first experience of a live football match, was going to Old Trafford. And then the year later, then I went to a Wolves game with my dad and my older brother. I remember it was a baking hot day right at the start of the league. So it must have been probably 97, around that sort of time.
Yeah.
And we were playing Bury.
So
sort of long ago we're going back.
I was going to say, yeah.
And we won. It was a great game. I think it was 4-2 or something like that. There was quite a few goals scored. And I just remember having a great time. Like, my brother had his face painted and it was just, you know, it was just a good day. And so that was, I guess, probably my very first sort of experience of a Wolves game. And And I guess it probably just grew from there a little bit then, really. And to be honest, I never really had many opportunities to go watch Wolves play because of training commitments, competition commitments. They were always, weekends were already completely taken up. And even middle of the week, I was, you know, as even from sort of primary school, I was training 15 plus hours a week. So I couldn't even go to midweek games. It wasn't until I got older and until I was a little bit more established in my gymnastics that I could, you know, take time a bit more away and go watch some of the games and things like that. But that's for me is probably where it all started, that game right there.
No, I mean, that's sort of very interesting because it's a relatively similar time to when I kind of started supporting the club a couple of years later. And I remember my first game, I think it was a mate of mine was a mascot, and I must have been to one a couple of weeks beforehand, almost as a dummy run, to make sure I enjoyed it. But it was against Tranmere. And so you saying Bury, it's just like, it's so crazy to think that not too long ago, I'm now thinking it's about best part of 20 years or so ago. But, you know, we've gone from playing the likes of Tranmere, Stockport, Bury, to, you know, every other week playing the likes of Man United or Liverpool. And that, I guess that change in the club and the culture of the the teams has changed so much, I guess, in our lifetimes.
Oh, definitely, without a doubt. And I guess even that particular season, actually, I'm sure we had a really good FA Cup run, and I think we got to the semi-finals. And again, I think that was probably the first time I'd ever seen Wolves on TV. Because they weren't in the Premier League, so getting sort of TV coverage back then, it was non-existent of the match of the day, and even then, that's the Premier League, so you just never really had that opportunity. And so again, just seeing them on television playing for the first time, I think that was just kind of probably solidified it a little bit more for me. But then just going back to what you were saying around, you know, where they were then perhaps sort of 20 odd years ago to where we are now is just incredible. And it's incredible to, I guess, as a fan to go on that journey with them. And, I was fortunate enough to go watch them in Europe at Molineux. Last season? And that's just an incredible sort of feeling as a Wolves fan to be able to do that.
Yeah, I think I kind of do a couple of interviews with a podcast as well on occasion. And, you know, it's always, well, would you prefer a league run or a cup run? And I always say to him, football's all about memories, isn't it? And, you know, Europe's a primary example of that is we won't really remember Wolves finishing seventh in the Premier League in 10 years' time. We'll remember playing Besiktas, we remember playing Espanyol, and I think those are sort of the moments that you hang on to as a fan. And they're what you say, you know, whether it's from your first game and you saw Wolves win, score two goals. For me, I think one of my first games, I think I saw a 20-man brawl, and I apparently just stood there smiling, going, "Oh, this seems all right." And I know that it's those things that I think kind of entrap you as a fan to kind of keep coming back time and again. I guess sort of it's a difficult one, but do you have sort of any favourite memories or moments being a fan, whether it's, you know, the high profile games of, say, the big European ones, or, you know, playoff finals, or I guess sort of the little fun moments in between?
For me, probably the Bratislava game, actually. I know that seems really odd because it wasn't a great game. And I think we won 1-0, and I think Jimenez scored pretty late on in the game. But for me, that was the first European game I'd been to watch as a Wolves fan. Going midweek, going to watch Molineux, going to the Molineux, watching Wolves play in Europe on a Thursday night, it was just, that was brilliant. And so for me, that's probably up there with probably one of the best games that I've been to. And not because of the performance, because I say it wasn't that great, but just because of the memories, as you mentioned, then you'll always remember those sort of particular moments. I think the playoff final, again, I didn't go down to Cardiff or wasn't there to watch the game, but you remember the atmosphere in the city after that. And you remember just how everybody felt around the city and kind of how it just gave everyone a little bit of a lift. And you noticed that, and you noticed the flags out the windows and the horns honking and the flags out the cars. And it's those little things, especially as you're growing up, those are the sort of things that you remember. And so, yeah, I think you're absolutely spot on. It's the memories that I guess it creates following your team, following football.
Yeah, and the playoff final one's an interesting example because, as I say, it wasn't almost like this team won, but the city won. And you feel, and I've spent most of my life living in Wolverhampton apart from a couple of years at university, and I'd be fascinated. It must be like that in every other sort of, you know, one club town across the nation. But, you know, you can definitely feel, whether it's on a match day or even just a Saturday when they're playing away, the difference between when Wolves are in the Premier League and doing well or when they're in the doldrums of the Championship, can't you? And, you know, the city almost lives and dies by how well this team does a lot of the time for me. And, you know, that whether it's the playoff finals or I remember, you know, it's a stupid one, but it's when you celebrate a goal, you know, when Wolves score, when people are allowed to be in stands and things like that. And, you know, you usually hug, you know, your mate who you go with or whatever like that. But I remember the quarterfinals against Man United when we got to the semi-finals. And I mean, I'll give my mate and my mate's dad a hug or whatever if we score. I think I hugged everybody within like about a 3-seat radius of me. Because you say it's not just about me at that point. It's literally everyone's just high-fiving and shaking hands. And, you know, I think that's probably one of the best things about supporting a team, especially a local or provincial one for me.
Without a doubt. And I think you're spot on with the fact that when it's sort of a one club city, it means that everybody's behind that team and they probably feel the highs a little bit more, but it also equally means you feel the lows a little bit more. And I certainly noticed that a lot more when my gymnastics, I was kind of, I guess, starting to reduce training a little bit. And I was able to start going to some of the matches on Saturdays and things like that. So it was probably around about the 2012 season, which was then when we started to have that relegation.
The decline, yeah.
And I remember going to about three games and it was like 0-0 back to back, all three games. And I thought, geez, what is going on? I've waited all these years to be able to start going to Molineux a little bit more consistently. And this is what's happened. But having said that, it's, you know, completely knocked on its head now and gone the other way. So I think you're spot on though. You, as the city of Wolverhampton, you feel it, the highs, you feel those lows, and you go through that roller coaster with the club.
Yeah. I was going to say, interesting, you sort of brought up the lows. And this is probably a perfect one. The worst moment for you supporting Wolves. I say this, you know, off the back of us losing to the Albion a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, even about 5-1. But I guess for yourself, do you have sort of a worst Wolves moment? It could probably very much be that sort of back-to-back relegations.
I think generally it probably has got to be that. Just, and I know that's not one specific moment as such, but yeah, it was probably the first time I was consistently able to go to more Wolves games. And so it wasn't great. Like, there's no beating around the bush.
Yeah.
It wasn't great. And so that naturally, I think going from the Premier League and then all the way through the Championship and then in League One, it's kind of like, oh, well, okay, I wasn't expecting that. But having said that, you know, as you say, you've got to go through the bad patches to appreciate the good times, which is exactly where we're at now. So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily change it either.
No, 1,000%. And, you know, that sort of couple of seasons, it very much had a, you know, a restart at the end of it and a rebirth. And, you know, you could say that's where we had that. So in the position we are now, I guess, and, you know, I wouldn't change where we are now for the world, really. You know, we've sort of talked briefly and I guess you say sort of football in the gymnastics community, because I guess sort of the two worlds aren't necessarily combined, so to speak, in sort of a wider remit of things. You know, it's not lots of, you know, cross transferability between the two on the face of it. I guess sort of, was there initially sort of, is there a football following within the gymnastics community? Was that something that kind of brought you guys together? Because I know you competed individually and as a team. Was that something that you kind of had a shared camaraderie with, or were you sort of very much not on your own, so to speak, but were you in a minority being someone who was a football fan?
I guess it was mixed, really. I guess you know, my teammates in the gymnastics team, they were dotted from all around the country. So you naturally did have people that supported all different teams. And there was a little bit of that, I guess, sort of camaraderie and banter just through football. But it wasn't with everyone at the same time. You know, I had one particular teammate, Daniel Keatings, who was a big Liverpool fan. And so you naturally, you know, mine and him conversations would naturally sort of mould around football probably more than some of my other teammates. However, that being said, you know, we had Arsenal fans, Leeds fans, Liverpool fans, United fans, kind of just throughout, dotted throughout the team. And so it was always good to kind of talk through it and just having a bit of a general conversation. But I'd probably only say my one teammate who was really into football, probably to the same sort of level as me. And again, having said that, though, the lads were probably more into FIFA and the tournaments that we'd have away on training camps. Or back in the day, it was Pro Evolution. So it was sort of Pro Evo tournaments back in the day and then sort of developed to FIFA as we got a little bit older and the game developed. And it would be all about sort of FIFA tournaments then, and we'd sort of team up and have sort of tournaments where we went away for competitions and training camps, which was always pretty cool. It got pretty competitive, pretty serious at times. There wasn't necessarily anything at stake for the winner or for the loser, but you know, as an athlete, you are competitive in most fields, to be honest. And so, even a game in FIFA can get pretty competitive.
No, I can imagine. Out of curiosity, what was your go to FIFA team back in the day, or were you sort of just kept it a bit random?
To be honest, we tried to go random. And you'd kind of go a similar sort of level, and then you would end up with teams that you didn't know anything about, or players that you didn't. And then naturally, you just look at the team and the bench and put on the quickest players.
And 1,000%. It's always the fast players, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And then it was either just a through ball or ball over the top sort of thing and chase sort of thing. So there wasn't much tactics or structure to it, put it that way. It was literally random team. Put on your quickest players and away you go.
Yeah. Random team, four stars and above. Anything you can compete on that plane, always a good plan for me. I guess sort of rounding up, so to speak. I guess for me, and knowing sort of say you've been from Wolverhampton, you've travelled, I guess, over the nation competing, over the world competing as well. What has it sort of meant for you, kind of being a Wolves fan, being sort of from Wolverhampton? Because, you know, whether it's something I guess you're consciously aware or not, but you're very much sort of seen as someone from the area and almost ambassador for the region. How does that sort of make you feel? Because, it must sort of fill you with a sense of pride, I guess.
Oh, definitely. Without a doubt. Without a doubt, the fact that, you know, I'm proud to say I'm from Wolverhampton, I'm proud to support Wolves. I'm proud to, you know, I guess try and be as much of an ambassador for the city that I possibly can be. And I guess what I have noticed sort of over the sort of the past few years, the success of the club has certainly raised the profile of the city. You know, even when I was abroad and competing, as I mentioned earlier, people know who Wolves are now, so they know naturally where Wolverhampton is. Where before, I'd have to say I'm from Wolverhampton. Okay, they didn't know that. Okay,
it's by Birmingham,
but you know, 20 miles north of Birmingham, that sort of, and we'd go about doing it that way. Where now, because of the success of the club, it's naturally had a knock-on effect and helped raise the profile of the city, which is, you know, it's a brilliant thing. And then naturally, I guess, just through my gymnastics and the success I had with that, I was proud to do that, you know, through my sport and I guess some of the stuff that I did as well. So it was, it's probably something I've never really given it too much thought of. I guess it's just something that you naturally do and you naturally want to do and you naturally want to, I guess, you know, just try and put Wolverhampton not on the map because that's not what the idea is, but just to, I guess, showcase it a little bit and be proud of that. And as I mentioned, my family's from Wolverhampton as well. And I guess it's always nice to hear of what's going on and success stories and things like that. So, yeah, it's something hopefully I can continue to do.
No, 1,000%. And I think I probably speak for pretty much everyone from Wolverhampton, but it doesn't always get the greatest reputation for people outside the region. But there's so many fantastic things that go on in here and people who sort of have, you know, being successful like yourself and really kind of showcasing, you know, what this city is all about. I guess sort of before we kind of wrap up, sort of how are you sort of finding sort of Wolves at the moment in terms, I, you know, sort of talked about almost the last sort of 20 odd years of supporting them and the ups and downs. You know, we won't sort of do a sort of a full analysis because you can listen to that on our next podcast coming out on Saturday, just for a small plug. But what sort of think of the team at the moment?
I think, you know, I'm by no means any football expert, so I think
you're talking to an amateur football podcast here, Christian. You're in good company.
I think, to be honest, the sort of form that we've hit, I think it was probably coming anyway. If you sort of look from the start of the season, even the end of last season, and how we were performing, and probably the injury to Jimenez was more of a catalyst as opposed to it being because of Jimenez. Mm-hmm. Having said that, actually, well, I watched the Chelsea game, and again, it wasn't necessarily the most exciting games, but they did the job that they had to do. And for the first time, I looked at the start lineup, looked at the bench, and thought, okay, that looks, you know, it looks healthy.
Yeah.
It looks like we're in a better position. So I'm kind of fingers crossed now that we can just crack on a little bit. You know, I've seen plenty of sort of comments and social media and stuff like that. And I think people are just very quick to jump on the negativity around performances not being great. But I think we have to be realistic as well in kind of such a short space of time where we've been and where we are now, and really take that into consideration. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you kind of got to have the bad times to appreciate the good times. And sitting as an older Wolves fan, you kind of accept that a little bit more. And
you've seen it, haven't you, in a way?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so these little blips, I'm not massively concerned, in all honesty. As I mentioned, I see comments around being pulled into a relegation battle and things like that. I honestly don't believe that will be the case. I think we've got enough in the tank to turn it around a little bit. I don't think it's going to be quite the success of last season or even the season before that, finishing seventh. But I think we'll be fine. And I have full faith and full trust in Nuno, and actually quite timely, I guess, yesterday, I guess it was announced, wasn't it, sort of committed $250,000 of his own money to help sort of poverty within Wolverhampton. What a guy.
I know, it's...
All football aside, what a guy.
I know, it's something, the way I kind of see it is it's not something he had to do, but there was no external pressure. And, you know, the foundation obviously does a great job as well. I think they've sort of raised about $500,000, sort of, you know, 50% of it, say, from his own money. And, you know, he's had a tough spell the last 12 months. You know, it's not been all bad, but there's been sort of a tricky patch for the last couple of months in particular. And it could have been very easy for him to batten down the hatches, but to kind of do that donation, I guess, for the city, you know, it only embeds him further into what we do. And, you know, I'm realistic as well, so I don't think he'll necessarily be here forever and, you know, have a 25-year period. But he's gone from being someone I think Wolves fans will always respect to, as a football manager, to being someone who I think everyone will respect as a man when he ever leaves the club. And I think, you know, we talk about sort of people being an ambassador for a city, you know, for him, it doesn't matter if he's from Portugal, like he is a person of Wolverhampton now for me.
Absolutely.
You know,
he's doing great things for the city, not just through football, but in other means as well now.
Yeah, exactly. So if we can start picking up more wins, but that's
his job. I'm confident that it's coming.
Me too, to be fair. I think sort of hopefully now we've got new striker and hopefully that's the sort of things out. Interestingly, you know, you talked about sort of us going through a bad patch. I'm just kind of curious from your past experiences as an Olympic athlete, do you kind of view that differently in a way? Because you always seem sort of very relaxed about it, and I don't think that's a bad take anyway, but do you sort of take that from someone who has performed, so to speak, on a big stage, that, you know, that compartmentalizing, look, it's not going right, but, you know, the refocus, realign and go again?
Yeah, perhaps. I guess I've probably never really gave it much thought in that sense, but you know,
I mean, you could just be a rational football fan, so you know, it's one or the other.
Well, I guess, you know, I've been in the best physical, psychological shape that I can possibly go be in, and then absolutely bomb out in a competition and really scratch my head as to why and try and understand that process. And so I do get that sport, it's got a certain level of unpredictability to it. You can't always have the success. You can put lots of processes in place, lots of interventions in place, you know, train hard, prepare in the best possible way, but sometimes sport does not go the way you want it to. And so I guess I've certainly learned from that firsthand. And I guess as long as you can kind of reflect on that and really try and break down the reasons behind it, and if possible, you know, then try and, I guess, just analyze it a little bit further and put, you know, implement things in place just to prevent it from happening again. And that's what sport's all about. That's what it's all about, learning from your mistakes, carrying on, and then trying to rectify those mistakes in the future. And I certainly went through that as an athlete. I had, you know, consecutive sort of runs, perhaps, of bad competitions, and that does knock your personal confidence of competing. And, it, you know, it's speaking from experience, I remember having competing at sort of world championships, having a real bad competition. And then the next one was another big competition, again, not doing too great. And my confidence at that point just felt pretty much shattered. And I couldn't really work out why. Preparation was going well, training was going well, but it just wasn't going the way I wanted it to. And it took sort of me going to a competition in, I think, yeah, it was Russia, which was sort of 18th of December. So it was absolutely freezing out there. Didn't want to be there anyway. It was just not a nice environment to be competing in, but kind of just to compete at a lower level again and just kind of get my confidence back and go through that process. And then from then on out, it was fine. And, you know, the Olympics the following year was a great success, European champs and so on. So, yeah, you certainly have to be able to ride that wave within sport. And there's many different ways that you can ride that wave. But I think in football, the natural sort of reaction of a fan is to either blame the manager or blame the amount of money in the game or, you know, those sort of things. But to be honest, that doesn't always play a part. Sometimes you just have to accept that you're not going to win everything. You're not going to win every game.
No, well, you know, I've always sort of taken the viewpoint, you know, once I kind of calmed down, but there's 11 other players who on that football pitch who don't want you to win. And it can be really easy to forget that sometimes, as you say, sort of when you get sort of so deeply ingrained and passionate about wanting to see Wolves win, that, you know, there's another team out there who's, you know, have got thousands of fans and, you know, players who want to do the exact opposite. And, you know, it can be kind of quite difficult to process that. I think I've said sort of before we wrap up about three times now, but sort of the very, very last one is sort of, I guess, sort of yourself personally now and kind of what you're up to. Am I right in thinking you're now working alongside the British Athlete Commission? Is that right?
Yes. Yep. That's the one. So I work for the British Athletes Commission. So I work with all the athletes across all Olympic, Paralympic, winter and summer games, which is brilliant because, you know, my whole career was as a gymnast and quite siloed into that, where now I get to speak and engage with athletes from all different walks of life and all different sports, which is incredible. And so I've been doing that for a sort of I think it's about 14 months now. So not too long. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it and really enjoying, I guess, being on the other side a little bit. It's more of a sports administration type role, but equally it's just being involved in sport. I think that's kind of what I want. And you can't be an athlete forever. And likewise with coaching, I thought, well, if I ever want to get into it, I can probably, that knowledge will always be there, so I can come back into it should I choose. But I think it was important for me to, you know, try other things in between that. So that's something that I'm doing at the minute. And then a few other bits and bobs as well with trying to stay engaged with gymnastics and things like that, just because, you know, the sport has given me so much, and I want to be able to give back and help raise the profile of the gymnastics as much as I possibly can, really.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Christian. It's been great to have you on. And yeah, hopefully we can catch up again soon.
No problem at all. Thank you very much for having me on. And likewise, catch you soon.
Big thank you once again to Christian Bear for joining us for the latest season of Stories from the Pack. We're really looking forward to bringing you the rest of the series on a regular basis. It's something we really enjoy doing at the Fancast.
Be sure to check out all our other recent pods. We're doing a podcast after every game at the moment where we're breaking down what's happened, and hopefully sooner rather than later we'll be able to analyse a Wolves win. Be also sure to check out our YouTube channel where we're uploading lots of content at the moment from our post-match reactions, as well as clips from the podcast as well, and Gully's tactical analysis as well. Make sure you're following us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. You search Wolves Fancast, you'll find us soon enough on there. Big thank you as well to our sponsors Pixel Yeti Media. For any of your website or marketing needs, make sure you go check them out at pixelyetimedia.com. Until next time, see you then.